Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 147, part one, What's Unclean, What's Common. Today is Friday, May 14th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why? Because we have no boundaries. We're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also shop at Pastor Paul's Mall, supporting our advertisers who support us. Now, to join our online community, go to Pastor Paul's homepage. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. You can also go to Pastor Paul's blog, leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony about Pastor Paul's podcast. You can email me, Janine at pastorpaul.org. And at the blog, you're going to find show notes to Pastor Paul's podcast that have scripture links. Be sure to join us every Friday and Sunday for two parts to Pastor Paul's weekly episode. This month, the month of May, here is the lineup. Your influence, what's useless, what's common, examination, self-emphasis, or others' emphasis. There you have it, the lineup for May. Be sure to join us. Have a beautiful month. God bless you.
And today's message is entitled, What's Unclean, What's Common? What's unclean, what's common? I think the greatest, the most wonderful, the most exciting, the most interesting things in life are commonplace. We pass by them every day. Just commonplace. Today I was sitting at the cafe and I was preparing this message early this morning. Hadn't seen this fellow, his name is Ray. He has a gas station here in the cities, and then he moved from Minneapolis and he went over to St. Paul, and he came in the door and I says, "You know, Ray, it really wasn't fair what you did to me." And he says, "I know it." Right away he knew that he moved from there and didn't say goodbye or where he was going or anything. And I said, "Hey, you never even said goodbye, fella, but I forgive you, and let's sit down and let's talk now." So we got that out of the way. And he started to tell me about his business, and I said, "You know, Ray," I said, "I've learned a lot by being in the Lord's business, and let me share with you." I said, "And I've had a lot of failures. I can tell you everything not to do. So I'm of some value to you." And so he commenced to listen because he had a whole lot of failures, and you know what? Every one of those failures he had turned into a victory. Because I explained to him that all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now here he was coming in all that time, but he was coming, "Oh, hi, Ray." But now that he hadn't been in for a long time, you start to miss that which leaves. That which becomes commonplace by its mere being there all the time. I'm saying in their profuseness, in their wide distribution, they're always being close, they're always being handy, they're always being faithful. Their unfailing consistency cheapens them. In that someone is around all the time, they become cheap. Isn't that right? In that a person is loyal all the time, always doing the same thing, you can always count on them, they become commonplace. Isn't that right? You never miss a water till the well runs dry, or somebody poisons it. Now it's got your attention. Wells of water springing forth out of your innermost being, all and all the time. By not paying attention, by taking things for granted, we poison the waters of a person's spirit. We start to call them commonplace, even unclean. They become cheap. And that's why they dump potatoes, and that's why they dump onions, and that's why they do this thing, because if there's a lot of them, they become cheap. Oh, there's plenty of them. Dump them out. They become commonplace. Well, that's just like going to the moon. Now they say they're going to make a shot to the moon. Nobody pays any attention anymore. Well, yeah, they're taking off. I don't know, sometime around noon. Before, we were sitting there on the edges of our seats. We were fearful for the pilots that were going up. We were expectant that everything would be all right, and we were kind of bound up with the whole thing. But now we're so free of caring, we don't care anymore. We're free. And it can get that way with people or going to the poor. It can become commonplace. It can become oh-hum, or just simply being as steady as my mother, the windmill, would say, keep on a keeping on her. They become commonplace. It's like a friend that we see very, very often, don't you see? They become so familiar, so used of, so it's just so-and-so, so what? So familiarity then, you see, it throws a veil, an illusion, let's say, over those close to us or the things that we have. We have a nice home. We have all kinds of things, and this being so familiar and always being there throws the veil, I say, of familiarity over them. We don't appreciate it anymore. That hides, I believe, the very revelation and the wonder of that person. There is a wonder in a person. That's why God would come to save even one soul. There is a world of wonder in one person, a universe of wonder in just one person. But we become so familiar with that person, we don't look for any brand new revelation. When they say that, we give them a name. We say, that's Jake or Pete or Fred. And we associate Jake or Pete or Fred with frumpdom. I believe, and I know this is true from my own ministry, the more that we know them, the less we know of them. We kind of put people on the shelf. We stop exploring. Now, you hearing this? Jan and I quit exploring, and I came down here, and I've been down here about 4 weeks sleeping in the basement of this church. Because I stopped exploring, I got mad. Where's my wife? I want her down here with me, and I want her down here, and I'm going to get her down here, and she's going to be part of this mission. And I stopped exploring the ways of doing that. Now, are you hearing this? Are you hearing it on the radio? You think preachers don't have any kind of problems? Oh, forget it. I got them. But I'm working them out by sleeping in the basement of the church. Okay? I don't care if it's okay. It's okay with me. It's okay with her. Now, you're going to see something unfold. Jan and myself are going to be working as a total team down here. Let all things be done in the light when you're ready for them to be shown in the light. Don't allow everybody to put a searchlight on you. Listen, are you hearing this today? How many are hearing it? Put your hands up. Are you hearing it? But I think the problem was is that we stopped exploring one another. And it was just old Pastor Paul and it was just old Jan. The truth, isn't it? Well, I guess the truth will set you free. Won't it? Now I'll tell you something, Jan. If people learn of what we went through in our particular marriages last few weeks, well, then they're going to learn a whole lot. See, it isn't getting up and humbling yourself. It's just being humble enough to just say, hey, this is the way it is. I mean, God, why not tell the truth? Well, I'm going to tell the truth. And I hope you preachers out there, man, I hope that you're hearing this. And I hope all you married couples out there are hearing this, and you want to know why. The moment you stop exploring the possibilities in your mate is the time that your marriage relationship will go zapple. I don't care how mad they are, and I don't care about any of their past history. You have to examine the possibilities. You have to search out something new in that person, and you have to pray for a revelation to come. You know what? It will. How many of you are hearing this? My God, if I empty out the church, I'm going to tell you a story. Go ahead, run. Them doors go both ways. You out there in the radio, you can turn me off. I don't care. I'm going to keep right on talking anyway. We were up to Bread Run the other day, and there was a little guy, and he was yapping away, yap, 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 yap. And I looked down at this little guy, and I said, man, you just talk all the time. If we had put fingers on your lips, we could all go home. I says, give your brother a chance to talk. And the little brother was about this much shorter, and he says, oh, I talk all the time. I talk in the morning, I talk in the afternoon, I talk at night. I said, oh, no, two of you. But, you know, it kind of reminded me of myself. I mean, both of them put together. And I thought, isn't that the way it is? People stop exploring the possibilities. They become oh-hum and, oh, you know, scrape your feet across the old linoleum floor to get the coffee and it becomes Yucksville. You know what I mean? You're home. See, I mean, to preach the truth and really preach the truth, people don't want to do it. Ask someone to really give you the truth, and I'll tell you something. They will not do it. And you know what? They'll never be free. The Bible says, and the truth, and the truth will set you free. Acts 10 and 28 says like this, "And he said to them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto another nation. But God hath showed me that I should call no man common or unclean." Then in Acts here 11, 8 and 9, "But I said, not so, Lord." Oh, how many times have we said that? Someone shows us some miserable person and he says, "Hey, I love that person. I have made them righteous." And we say, "Not so, Lord. Compare them against me. I've been here doing the farming all the time and they've been wandering out there prodigalizing. How about me, Lord?" Huh? And this elder son and this elder person and this self-righteous person cannot see the beauty within that person even while they're out there in the hog pen. "But God has showed me that I should call no man common or unclean. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth." Well, rudely doodly doodlers. "But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not common." That's where the fault lies. We think little things and we think people are just common. See, what we call the usual, what we call the frequent, what we call the habitual commonplace, we say with sort of a ho-hum slur, with all our weariness because of everyday contact, send people, I believe, to the very rooms of uninteresting, and we categorize them. Isn't that an uninteresting person? To the uninteresting room with you. Get gone. You are boring. Go in the boring room. You are empty. Go in the empty room. You are exhausted. Go in the exhausted room. Go in the nothing new room. You're the same old person. Go in the nice in a pinch room. Don't we have them folks? Don't we? Oh, you're nice in a pinch. Every time I go down to one of these bread runs or get into those things, you know, I stand in line and I pass out the groceries and, oh, my heart aches every time I get out there. Because really, there's a lot of people that really don't give two hoots and a holler for them people that are out there. Now, I mean what I'm saying here today. They really don't care. There's a song like that, "All Them Lonesome People." Where do they all come from? You look out there and all the faces are down and someone has said to them, "You're uninteresting," maybe when they were a child. "You're empty, you're boring, you're exhausted, you're nothing new. You'll do in a pinch, but would you mind just getting out of the way?" I was sitting downstairs yesterday at the women's breakfast, trying my hardest to look like a woman. It didn't work. I had to leave. I got found out. But I wanted to hear what was going on. And there was a little gal down there, and she says, "You know what? I am number 5. What does that mean? I'm number 5 of 12 kids or something like that. I thought, boy, that's kind of sad. And then she said something else to me. She said, "Why do people call me Alice when my name is something else? And they people don't even know my name." She just was a person that felt she had no kind of personality at all. So I walked up and I had my arm around her kind of like this, and she said, and man, she responded. I mean, you know, like almost jumped up in my arm. What'd I do now? You know what I mean? I'm becoming to believe this, folks. You listen to me on the radio now. I truly believe that most people, including Christians, think that the ghetto people and the poor and the convict and the homosexual and the mentally ill and the drunks are beyond reach. And I'm beginning to understand what the Bible means when it says, in the end, I will raise up the very low, base, perverted things of the world to confound the wise. The world, it says. Because you want to know something? I really feel that the love has left the church. Say amen, somebody. Really is the truth. We don't put up with a lot of things out of each other. And you know, we take each other for granted unless something goes wrong, and then we're right on top of each other's cases. Hey, there's a malfunction in this perfect machine. What's going on? Well, hey, it's an opportunity to show love. Say amen, somebody. How many are hearing this today? You listen on the radio. But we send people to the rooms of you'll never change. And I've heard that. They say, well, you know, you go down there, but there's nobody really changing. Do they change down there? I mean, you give them groceries and clothes. And how do you know they deserve it? And all this junk. But if that's all that happens, that's more that's happening with that person that says that. And that isn't all that's happening. But we send people to the rooms of, oh no, not you again. Do you ever feel that when somebody comes in? Oh no. Sometimes you feel that about your own kids. Mama! Mama! Aren't they neat when they're sleeping? And you know why we get that way? Because we do not explore the possibilities within those children. You stop exploring. I praise God that from my own dad, I learned this message. When I was in boys' schools and jails and in the drunk tank and onto my face and my own puke, my dad always seen something in me. My mother, the windmill, was always trying to beat what my dad seen in me out. But they were a pair that saw something very interesting, very interesting. Do you see that in your children? Very interesting, my dad would say. Look at you. This is very interesting. Where's it going to take you? But he was always interested. Always interested. And I think the fault is not in the people or things themselves, but in us. The eye of the beholder. We do not bring to them a listening ear. We turn our hearing off. We void out their conversation as if it were nothing new or good or anything like that. Nothing could come out of their boring being. We have ears, and the Bible says, but we don't hear. And the sound of their voice is even too much. And I believe we miss the very wonder of the revelation because of familiarity. And we come with an attitude to wherever that we're coming to with an attitude of nothing's new. Now, I get my messages because I learned from my dad and my mother to be observant. Wherever you are, God will give you a message. Friday night's revelation from the Lord came from a waitress. And I showed you this waitress the other day. I mean, the waitress that set me free with wrong vibes. Isn't that something? But we sort of turn them off. We know someone's talking. We hear sounds. We are very aware that a body is close. Irritatingly so at sometimes. But you know what? We could care less. I think some mates could talk to each other for 2 hours and hear nothing but themselves, their own thinking. And then we ask each other, oh, did you hear what I said? It's true, isn't it? Because they're thinking about their day, their problems, their wants, their desires, and their needs. And then we don't even hear what they're saying. It's sort of a monotone, boring, dragging, record going down. And I had this vision of a wife serving her husband breakfast dressed like a mummy. And the husband didn't even notice that her speech was sort of muffled. She carried the breakfast over there, and she was all bound up with these ace bandages, let's call them. You know what I mean? Now you got the picture. All bound up, and she had these da-da, 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 da-da. All these mummy rags on. And he didn't even notice that her speech was muffled. Put it down there. Kept reading his paper. Unconcerned, not looking for anything new. And if you would have noticed, you'd say, oh, you got a new dress, huh? And I believe we also do not bring a person the seeing eye. And I had another vision of a person that weighed about like 69 pounds, had holes in their coat, walked around with a tin cup and pencils. And I mean, this truck came and drove right over them. We didn't even notice it. Or a tow truck could hook onto the neighbor's car and drag it away. And we would just say to each other something like this, why didn't you say something? Probably after that we noticed they don't live next door anymore. Or another neighbor calls with a have you heard. We don't bring to people a free mind. Now, how do you get a free mind? You get off your mind, what's on your mind, so you have a free mind. Now, that's a danger in being Pastor Paul, because if you tell the truth, it's dangerous. I should have the Surgeon General put across my mouth here a stamp. This could be injurious to your health. But you know what? God be your judge, people. But we don't bring a free mind. It's bound up. It's too cluttered to hear. Too out in the land of oobla-do to comprehend the common sounds. We don't bring to the people a full heart, full of love and expectation and gee, you're great and high, beautiful, and what's that song? Zippity doo da. Zippity doo da, zippity a. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. Feeling so happy, feeling so gay. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. It's the truth, it's satisfactual. Isn't that the way it goes? You're such a wonderful person, new every day. Did you know that? The person's brand new every day. Every day. You judge a person on yesterday, and it's so unscriptural. Isn't it? Forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards a high mark to calling in Christ. Oh, yeah, I'm serious about what I'm doing down here. So I'm dead serious. I want to be deader, seriouser. Bible says die daily. Well, if I die up here behind a pulpit, praise God, then there'll be a zippity-doo-dah person coming off of the pulpit stand here. Say amen, somebody. There's so much work to do. We haven't got time for all this, you know, secondhand love. Say amen. Well, we've been married 29 years. And you know what? His secondhand love is coming around to a greater thing, isn't it? You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because I have been steadily looking for it. Haven't I? I believe the Bible says we should provoke one another with good works. And also, I believe when we meet someone and they say, "What's new?" Don't say, "Oh, same old thing." Or, "Oh, nothing." I believe we should get out and do something so that we'd have something new to say. And I believe that's why so many of us carry around bad news and hearsay. Because, you see, we don't create anything new. Something new, something born again, something brand new must be created. It has to have the Spirit in it. So in the morning you must pray for the Spirit of God, don't you see, to fill you, and then you can have something new. You're born again that day into something new. And already you're thinking in your head, you can only be born. I'm not talking about that. You know what I mean? Let's don't mince words, radio audience. You see, it's not what we have in life that counts, but the fine self that we put into it. Do it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. I'll tell you something. You'll be misunderstood. Remember my little dad, he was a hugger. That's where I get my hugging expertise. And he was always hugging people and patting them and encouraging them all the time. And someone said to him, "You know what? I don't like people hugging me and patting on me. I think it's naughty and nasty." And he, you know, he was just like a child. And he sort of looked at him and he sort of, The next day he went and hugged and he went and patted on him. Because that's the way he was. He really didn't care what folks thought. Are you hearing this? How you report tells a lot of where you are at. Now, everybody's got a report, haven't they? You come in the cafe, you got body language too. You come in the cafe, and I go in cafes in the morning because I get messages on them, and I got clientele in there. I got people that I minister to in cafes. I've led as many as 40 people to the Lord in one cafe. And you walk in, and if you got the Spirit of the Lord on you, everybody is, it wakes up that the Spirit is with you. Now, this is not a thing of pride. Now, don't write everything down. My God, you know, people are so concerned by what you say. They write it all down. They say, you said this. Now, don't worry about what I'm saying. Take it in the right context. You know what I mean? I have to tell a radio audience that all the time. You get these cards and these letters, you know what I mean, from people? I'm tired of it. What I'm saying here today, I want to be taken in the right way. A guy called me the other day and said, Pastor Paul, he says, are you sure you're not doing this for your own glory? I says, come on down and lift a couple of 100 pounds of bags of this glory. You can have all you want. And we got 80,000 pounds of potatoes just come in. Carry in as much glory as you want. So take right what I'm saying here today. See, we need to regroup and we need to reshape and we need to come on with a good report. So many times we come with a bad report. Isn't it easy to have a bad report? How about coming on with a good report? Sometimes you give good reports and people don't like it. It's really the truth. They don't want to see you coming on with a, how's it going? Oh, great, and this happened, and that happened, and praise God, this happened, and that happened, and this came in, and that came in, and this came in, and that came in. Oh. Well, how's it going? Oh, gee, I don't know. We're sort of sliding downhill, you know. It looks like tubes. Really? Now they're all interested. Isn't that the nature of ourself to be that way? Isn't that the Colosseum spirit? You know what I mean by Colosseum when you're down in there and you're wrestling with the lions? Say amen, somebody. I'm just saying today we all should examine ourselves. Each one. And of course, this whole ministry right now is preaching to people that are out there on the radio. They're all around and they'll all hear it. And the whole gist of this message is tell the truth. The truth will set you free. And don't worry about what people have to say. They always got something to say. My God, haven't we always got something to say? We always have a report, but it isn't always good, is it? Sad to say, that's true. And you know what? You'll be misunderstood. If you're a loving person, you will always be misunderstood. The most misunderstood was Jesus Christ. Love. I'm not talking about something that he acquired. He is love, was misunderstood, and called every name there was. And the more of Jesus you have, the more Christ-like you become, the more you're going to become against. That's just the way it is. They first hated me. They don't hate you. They hate Christ in you. Now be careful if everybody loves you, the Bible says. How many are hearing this? Whew. Provoke one another unto good works. But anyway, how you report tells a lot about where you're at. Listen in Exodus. Thou shalt not raise up a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be unrighteous witness. Do you know there are folks that cannot go to sleep unless they've done something wicked that day? And then they smack their lips and they go to sleep. In Proverbs it talks about them. And their feet are running for wickedness. And they go to sleep and they, good night, and they just cover up. Oh, wasn't that great? Destruction! How many know that's the truth? Have you ever had that yourself? Where, you know, this someone has just bugged you and this and that, and then something happens and you say, well, I guess God showed them. Well, be careful because God is about ready to show you. Say amen, somebody. Ooh. Are you hearing this? Usually I believe a self-righteous person raises up a false report. Well, you say, what if they tell exactly what happened? No, it's still a false report if it's done in the legal confines of a self-righteous person. What do you mean? It doesn't ring true. It can be true, but it's not true in the sense of the royal law of love. Right? It's called a false report. And usually after they raise up such a report, the avid listeners don't want them around. And you know why they don't want them around? They're afraid that they will be next. And if it doesn't benefit them, or if it doesn't put them in the limelight or make them appear greater, it's a nothing report. Some people report nothing unless it lifts them up. And I think we all are capable of that. You hear a wonderful thing happen. Well, what's happening? Oh, nothing really. And maybe you just seen a great big miracle happen. Are you hearing this? Here we have the people, and they wouldn't enter Canaan land because of an evil report. Listen to what it says in Numbers 13. 30 through 33. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." We can do it. Now, this, I believe, was the very way that he saw it. And it wasn't what they had in the manpower, but in the fine self, in the fine image, in the fine vision that Caleb had, he put it into his interpretation. The way I see it, we can go in there and slay the giants and we can move in there. But listen what happened down here in another verse here. But the men that went, listen. Hear this now. Listen, sit down, honey. Turn up here and look up here now. I'm going to teach you how to listen. You'll get better grades in school. Up here. Look right up here. Up with him said like this. We are not able, listen, this is a good story, son. We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are. They were giants. They were great, big, huge giants. No, we can't go in there. There's giants. One went by the spirit, one went by the flesh. And the flesh brought up an evil report from the devil. I heard this at a meeting yesterday. They said, "Pastor Paul, we understand that you're over in the St. Paul area. We'd like to have you come to a meeting over here. It's a sort of a church group meeting that's being held over here. Some men are over here, and they're two blocks down from where your ministry is, and they're setting up a food shelf over there. And they'd like to hear your comments on urban, tragedy, I'd call it." And so I got over there, and we got over there very late. There was probably about 15 minutes, and the guy said, "Well, we got to hurry up. We got to go eat." And I was getting the signals like, "Make it quick." So I'm sitting there and I thought, my God, what can I say in a few minutes? I said, "You know what? I've been through a lot of trials, Lord, and I just feel kind of empty today. And I just don't, the Holy Spirit, Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. Because today, for some reason, I just feel totally empty." And I got up behind the microphone and the Holy Spirit fell. And you know, I knew it wasn't me speaking. Because the voice that came out was another voice, and the Spirit of God was going out, coming back, and falling all over my whole body. And I knew that the Spirit of the Lord was on me to set the captives free and to meet the needs of the people and to tell what I had learned about the inner city ministry. Was a work of the Holy Ghost. But it can become so commonplace that you don't even pray. Preacher, are you hearing me? And oh, God. I went home last night. I commenced to weep, didn't I? And I says, you know, I said, it's just like nobody cares for the poor people. Nobody really cares what's happening. I says, you know what? There is really truly an ache in my heart for those men that are down there, and look what they're trying to do. And they sent out all these flyers, and they had all these people sitting. There was only about, 35, 40 people in this big coliseum. And I looked out there, I says, there's only 40 people there. I says, it's not by might, it's not by power, brother, but it's by God's Spirit this thing is going to be done. Don't you forget it. It's by that fine self. And that's where I got the message. It's by that fine self, that image of what can be done within you. Christ in you. Christ's image in you, what he can do. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying like this, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. They are big dudes over there. And there they go on. We saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own side. Now listen to what they said. And we were in our own side as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. What you see within yourself and what you see yourself as is what other people see you as. Talk about a low self-image. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. There you have it. Don't go by what somebody else sees by you or in you. You know, go by what God shows you by yourself. Don't go as a grasshopper, or they'll see you as a grasshopper, hop, hop, hopping down the bunny trail. Wow, what a report. I mean, the people just literally fell over in the sand when they heard this, and they let the water of the word drain out of their water skin, so to speak, and they dried up for 40 years because someone did not bring a seeing eye. Someone did not bring a listening ear, and someone did not go in there with a free mind and a full heart to God for the finer interpretation about what was going on according to the will of God. But then we read that after Moses' death, God raised up Joshua, and he listened to the Spirit, and God spoke. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them. There, it's ours. There's only one problem. God did not tell them to walk on that ground. Well, we claimed it and we walked around it, and that's it. Well, wear your shoes off of your feet. It ain't going to do you no good unless the Lord wants you to have it. Most times he wants to get you out of the building anyway. So many times we're caught up in the confines of a building. Or the confines of ourselves. These are little buildings, little, you know, tents. Aren't they? Mobile buildings. Isn't this just a building that we're living in right now? Will the real you stand up? If the real you stood up, it'd jump right out of this body.